To order and thank everybody for coming today. We appreciate it. It's hopefully at least another member will show up before we're finished, but we want to get started. It's Friday and I'm sure we all want to go home. So with that, I think I'm going to call Roger Martin and Michael Ward. And I'm opening the informational hearing.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Roger Martin. I have the pleasure of being the Executive Director of the Oregon Transit Association. We're here today to talk about the majority of our members because often when we say transit, everyone thinks of TriMet or Lane Transit and not anything else. The vast majority of our members are in rural areas of the state or all over the state, all 36 counties, who are the providers of senior and disabled transportation. And that's the issue we want to address. To save you some time, since all of you considered it an episode of MASH almost, the film we have on it, we gave Representative Bentz his own personal copy. He can watch it over the weekend and we won't show it to you again. It does illustrate very much what I hope some of this material that we passed out. At Representative Bentz's permission, I photocopied this letter, not to put any pressure on him, but because it's a perfect illustration of the needs in this state for the service that is provided by many providers in all 36 counties. That system, just for a little historical collection, started in the mid-1980s with 1 cent tax on cigarettes, which started the service around the state. That's for the operation or the match used to get, and there are federal grants available. Michael Ward will get into some of this, how it's financed, but it has turned out to be so successful that we literally have running out of money to provide the service that's so desperately needed. In 1991, an additional 1 cent was added. Thanks to now Senator Margaret Carter, who was a House member at the time, we added 1 penny to make it 2 cents. And then early in this decade, we added some other revenues that came from portions that Michael Ward will talk about, non-highway funds. This is going to lead us into the 2009, the year of transportation, we're promised by the governor, who's working very hard on various committees. There's a role that must be recognized for transit, especially for the elderly and disabled transportation. When I bring the subject up to some of the regular road people, they say, well, that's all fine, but you know, can you keep it separate, keep it away from us? And our system, and ODOT really recognizes this, is a multi-system, we have all modes of transportation, and transportation for public transportation, both the regular scheduled bus lines and senior disabled, has to be part of the solution if we're going to address the transportation problems in Oregon, and I think all of you know that and appreciate it. I blew up the page that was in the Oregonian earlier this week. I'm not throwing the headline, No Place to Grow Old, but what it illustrates is that by 2025, we will be the fourth or fifth largest senior population state in the nation. And with that comes far greater requirement for the kind of transportation that I'm talking about. It's going to take an increase of money. We are currently engaged and Michael will talk about this also, the development of the actual figures to come to you in 2009, say, here's the population, here's the unmet needs, and here's what it's going to cost. And I hope we'll all be realistic and address that we're going to have to find a source of permanent money so we don't come back in 2011 and start the same thing over again. People can make arguments against the cigarette tax for this purpose. I can make arguments for it. The one thing we do recognize is that probably the revenue from cigarette taxes is going to decrease over the coming years, not increase, so it's not elastic and won't grow with the population. The other very good piece of material that we added was simply the material here from TriMet. It talks about the system in the metropolitan area, and you'll hear more about that. So with that, we want to work with you. We want you to follow this, and we will keep you abreast as we develop the plans and the figures, and Michael will talk about those.
For the record, I'm Michael Ward. I'm the administrator of the Public Transit Division of the Oregon Department of Transportation. And with Roger having given my presentation, I'll ask you question. Thanks, Roger. I did pass out a six-page handout. I'm certainly not going to read those to you. I will go through it fairly quickly. I'm very sensitive to Chair Byer's opening comments and the time and place that we are here today. I would point out that public transit is a key and important component in achieving some of the things that are very important to us, us Oregonians, and that is mobility, a healthy environment, sustainable communities, and the economic vitality of our state. I'd also like to echo Roger's concerns that it's a growing industry, and my staff are currently working with cities and counties around the state to expand and work through some very thorny public transit issues in Central Oregon, in Malheur County, in Columbia, and Clatsop County, down in Coos County. Across the state, we're working with people as they try to bring public transit to the table as a way to solve some of the transportation needs. And it's not just congestion, but it's working with Bandon Golf Course and the city of Bandon on how do we get workers from parts of the city out to where the jobs are. How do we provide better transportation between Payette and Ontario, and how do we work in Clatsop and Columbia County to get those seniors and people with disabilities into Portland for their medical trips and some of those other kinds of things. So it's happening. It's a big issue. It's growing, and it's starting to strain our resources. I'm going to jump to page 3, which talks about our special transportation program for 07-09. These are the funds that are specifically devoted toward seniors and people with disabilities. You'll see on the left of that chart federal funds of about $17.7 million. And then on the state side, the three components that make up our state transportation fund, the ID card fee goes back to about 2003 when the legislature okayed DMV raising fees in an effort to provide money for public transit. The cigarette tax, Roger's already given you the history of the cigarette tax. In 07-09 terms, we're looking at about $9.2 million. And then the Transportation Operating Fund, which about the 99-01 session, when there was a move to get public transit out of the general fund and into the highway, not the highway fund, but into ODOT. And so the Transportation Operating Fund provides us about $6.2 million for of a total of around $18.2 million, if my hat is if my math is correct. But the important point I want to leave is those funds are essentially a flat. They don't grow with inflation. They're fairly stable over time. And as the population of seniors and people with disabilities increases, then the amount you have to spend on a per person basis goes down. And as Roger pointed out in the Oregon. We are looking at significant increases in populations of seniors throughout the state, and we suspect that there's also a correlation with individuals with disabilities.
Can I interrupt just a second?
Yes.
And you're talking, because I was wondering how in comparison this was to, say, last biennium or the biennium before, but you're saying the funding level is flat. It really hasn't increased or decreased. It's just the buying power has decreased.
Yes, the buying power has decreased. I thought about that sort of at the last minute and looking at those figures over time, and we can certainly provide that to you, but the numbers are about flat. But when you look at the cost of fuel, cost of insurance, some of the other costs that public transportation providers have to bear, these funds haven't kept up with their needs. Uh, part of the other story I want to tell is what do these funds go to, and what do they help us support. So on page 4 or 6, how are these funds used? About 7 million trips annually, 14 million trips in a biennium. These are trips to get people to doctors, education, families, down to local senior centers so they can remain active in their community. It helps individuals with disabilities go to work, employment, seek employment, stay employed, helps them be, remain vital in parts of the community. In rural communities, some of these are services are open to the general public, and so seniors and people with disabilities can take advantage of that also. And then the funds can be used sort of from a capital outlay perspective in terms of providing for passenger shelters. We have many training programs around the state to help individuals learn and feel comfortable with how to use a bus. What we found is when folks transition from a private auto to a bus, there's some there's some apprehension to overcome to help those individuals learn that the buses are safe. They're depending on where you live, it can be easy to use, and so we have those kinds of training programs that our funding supports. Just follow up a little bit on Roger's comments about one of the major issues facing us, and that is the aging population. Maybe two statistics to tag on to with what Roger had mentioned. We know from national studies that about 25% of people over 75 years of age do not drive, they give up driving, and that people live anywhere from 7 to 11 to longer years after driving. That certainly doesn't mean they're no longer vital and important components of their neighborhoods and their communities into the state. Public transit is a way to help them stay connected with their community and help them maintain the vibrancy of their lives. And the other piece I'd point out in terms of the aging of Oregon is that it's not uniform, that rural Oregon will be a little older than urban Oregon. The bottom of page 5, we talk about the percentage of urban counties. The average age over 65 will be about 12%, and rural counties will be about 16%. So there's that little shift. Certainly, and I think it's important to realize that while the vast number of seniors will be in the urban areas, for rural county, there will be a significant amount of their population that needs these services also. And then just to close, I'll follow up on what Roger's comments or references to the budget note from last session. That budget note was included in the Department of Human Services budget. It directs DHS and ODOT to work together to look at new revenue sources for urban and rural programs servicing seniors and people with disabilities. Clearly, before we can come before the 09 session and ask for more money, we have to build a pretty good case that supports that request. And so DHS no doubt have engaged the help of Association of Oregon Counties as well as Portland State University and the College of Urban Planning. There's a group of professors and graduate students who are just eager to do this work, and that is to look at the needs of the state now and in the future out of the next 20 years for public transportation needs for seniors and individuals with disabilities, both in the rural setting and the urban setting, and then come back to you in the 09 session with the results of that study and put that request in front of you. The other component of that study is to try to identify the revenue sources where those funds would come from. I think that's the harder part of the study, actually, than trying to crunch the numbers and trying to develop and document the need for public transit. It's also some suggestions on where the funding might come from. We'll have that study, the preliminary study, done in about May or June time frame, and we've been directed to provide the study to DAS and LFO by September of this year, certainly as a precursor to a discussion at the 09 session. So with that...
You didn't have to rush. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Manager Michael. Thank you for the report. I do notice that because the draft report will be published in June, and I'm assuming this committee will receive copies of the draft report so we can see the kind of evolution report as you go.
Absolutely.
Could I add a couple more things, Madam Chair?
Yeah.
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge that the members of this committee have been wonderful in your support already. The funding for E&D was Representative Byers' number one issue during the last session. Representative Tomei has worked very closely with TriMet and others in our area. And Representative Buckley has been very helpful to Rogue Valley Transportation District on this and other issues that are of concern to them. And the other committee members that aren't here, I don't want to overlook the fact that all these men supported. The TriMet piece of material illustrates something you're going to find out when you go through these. If you'll notice that the lowest percentage of growth in seniors is in Multnomah County, it's slightly higher in Washington and Clackamas counties. If we added in counties such as the coastal counties or other parts of rural Oregon, it's a more dramatic jump because the senior population is dramatically higher in Curry County and in other places than it is in these counties. And the other one is the pie chart over there. Notice of the total cost for the transportation of the elderly and disabled, how much comes out of TriMet's general fund. And that's the same case where our larger systems are supporting these around the state. In Representative Buckley's area, Rogue Valley Transportation District has just had to stop and slow down. It's caused a shrinkage in the population that's being served in Jackson County. They simply don't have the financial base to do it. The one other item that is a kind of a landmine on the horizon that worries all of us is this insurance issue that comes down from the OHSU Supreme Court decision recently on the liability cap. All public transit is covered by that same law. When I brought this up at a recent meeting of the Oregon Transit Association, the first response from the larger counties is, well, we're self-insured. We can probably handle it. This is exactly what happened about 20 years ago when we went through an insurance crisis. The larger systems are big enough to find a way to handle it. The smaller systems get smashed. If you're in Ontario or if you're in LeGrand or Joseph, Oregon and Wallowa County, you likely have one insurance person and they'll walk in and say, your rates are tripling and they just simply can't meet it. And it'll cause a crisis. I hope that as we go along into the 2009 session, we address this problem. I know all the landmines that exist outside of transportation, but we've got to find a way to solve that problem.
Thank you. Any other questions?
I just wanted to follow up on what you were saying, Roger, and I'm very glad you brought up the chart. I just was shocked at reading that. Multnomah County is going to quadruple its elderly population in 25 years. Washington County will triple, and Clackamas County will double in the next 25 years. It's just increasing so quickly that it's certainly an issue that we need to deal with right away.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, one last thing. At our October 25th session, where I talked about public transit in general, we had a spirited discussion around complementary paratransit. And so I've asked the staff to prepare a briefing paper on that issue that I'll leave with the committee administrator that describes in only four pages some of the high points of complementary paratransit for you.
There are high points? I missed that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And I don't have a list of names, so the first group panel, we need to move some chairs out.
Chair Byer and other committee members. My name is Ellen Reese. I reside at 1133 Olive Street, apartment 915, Eugene, Oregon. I am a paratransit user. when I get out in the elements of the winter weather and have to wait for a bus, I'm really receptive to colds, bronchitis, pneumonia, and so. And I'm also a very busy activist, and by having access to the paratransit systems in the various cities, I stay healthier. And I know I'm not the only one in this situation. We have a lady at Audi Plaza who has no children. She has lived there since the place opened. And she's got to the point where she cannot use the regular bus. So she fully relies on the paratransit system. And I know, too, that she's not the only one. And I know with the explosion of our older population getting greater, there's going to be a greater demand for transportation, and I'm in full support of giving more money for the prayer transit of Oregon. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Stay warm.
Stay warm and healthy.
Oh, Mr. Knicker.
Yes, for the record. Chair Beyer, members of the committee, I'm sorry. For the record, my name is Edward Knicker. I live at 173 East Avenue, Eugene. And now I have recently been appointed to the LTD board. Before that, I was the chairman of the Accessible Transportation Committee. I'm been on that committee since it was the Special Transportation Fund Advisory Council. It used to take, now let's see, okay, I'll divide this into two parts. I know the coming to Salem is supposed to try to put a face on it, but I've been a bus user for 10 years, so, but I used to be a paratransit user. I used to volunteer at the paratransit place. I know that everybody is running money this time, and I know there isn't enough money for everybody. It seems to me like rather than looking at the allocation side, we should be looking at the revenue side. With the defeat of the governor's 84.5 cent tax, cigarette tax, it's time again. I know this won't happen until the 2009 session, but it's time again to consider increasing the cigarette tax. It's also possible, I know the road people are going to be wanting a lot of money. It's possible to tack a little special transportation money on them. A few years ago, it was $20 a ride for a ride source ride, a paratransit ride. With the increase in gas taxes and maintenance and so forth, it's $40 a ride now. Eugene is fortunate because it has LTD, the ADA mandates that a fixed route provide complimentary service. I forget the word. Anyway, service that is paratransit. But the rural areas don't have that advantage. I can't speak for the rural area. I don't live in one. But I'm more than familiar with their dilemma. I don't really have a lot to say. I didn't plan on testifying before you. I didn't prepare any testimony, any written testimony, because there aren't any House bills pending. But I thank you for allowing me to testify. And if there are any questions, I would be glad to answer them.
Thank you. And I guess I'll clarify one thing. and I think most of us up here understand, but when you say that the ride used to cost $20 and now costs $40, it's not to the individual riding, it's to the transit system that's paying.
Yes, that's correct. We at LTD is the price for paratransit in an urban situation is up to two times that of the fixed route. The price for a ride source was $2 for a long time. Then it was $2.50. Now we're at LTD, we're proposing a fare increase of our cash fare to $1.50, so at the allowable fare for ride source would be $3. So that is, it costs, like a person, it costs $6 for a round trip. For a person who takes it to work 5 days a week, that's $30 for transportation. Now, if there were more special transportation fund dollars available to it, LTD wouldn't have to subsidize so much. It wouldn't be so dependent. The fare only brings back, I forget, well, I don't know, it's ever-changing, but it's something like 6 or 7% of the cost of the trip. It's not a significant figure.
So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And talking to us. All right.
Hello. We're all associated with Ride Connection, which is we provide transportation options to people with disabilities and older adults in the Portland metro area. Unfortunately, I apologize that our customers, they were here this morning, however they needed to.
Can you identify yourself?
James Uretta with Ride Connection. And like I was saying, our customers, they were here this morning from 9 to 2, however they had to go back. And so we're here. And when I first started with Ride Connection, give a quick story. I was with the RideWise program, which is a travel train program. A really quick story with that is there was a gentleman, individual in a mobility device. He used the paratransit service every day to go to and from work. However, his sisters just moved away from him a little further distance, and he also had a new mobility device. And so he was nervous about using public transportation. However, he wanted to explore that option to become more independent and mobile and be able to come and visit his sisters when he wanted to on the weekends and not have to plan a day ahead. So what we did is, because we have that unique relationship with TriMet, we're able to bring an out-of-service bus to his house. He's able to practice in his new mobility device in a non-pressured environment. And after that, he was able to gain the confidence in his new mobility device, and then we're able to travel train him, teach him how to use fixed route. So on the weekends, when he wanted to, he could just kind of go and visit his sisters when he wanted to, and he didn't have to schedule a day in advance. And that's one of the programs that Ride Connection has, is that our RideWise travel training program. So.
Good afternoon. My name is Harvey Rice, and I am with one of the agencies that provide the rides to the Ride Connection customers. I'm with Rideabout. It's five different agencies located in North and Northeast Portland. And we give the rides to those senior citizens. We pick them up in their homes, take them to wherever they want to go, doctor's appointment, grocery shopping, visited friends, other sits and shut-ins, and we do that 5 days a week. When we first started, we were doing it 1 day a week, and it has now grown since 2003, until now. We do it with some volunteers and some paid staff, and I'm open for any questions.
Hi, my name is Josh Netzer. I'm with Right Connection. I handle the outreach for the organization, but I also have a unique position. I qualified as a driver as well, so when a lot of our volunteer drivers or paid drivers are unavailable, I take up that slack. I'm not going to wow you with a lot of numbers and stats and things, so I'm only going to talk to you from my heart. And I've actually had the opportunity to have a few jobs in my life. I've worked for elected officials. I've worked for profit industries, and this is my round with the nonprofit industry. This is the first time in my career, and granted, I'm about 15 years long, that somebody's called me up personally afterwards and said thank you. And I don't know, as elected officials, how often somebody calls you and says thank you. Working for Blumenauer, I know it's not very often. but I would. And no offense to the congressman. I was answering the phones that I know that. And every once in a while, somebody would say thank you, and it was a nice thing to hear. But as somebody who was that, boy, that came out wrong, didn't it?
Yeah.
As somebody who does offer the transportation for special needs, older adults, and people with disabilities, it's really nice to sit at your desk the next day and work on an outreach piece and have somebody say thanks. That was a life-sustaining ride that you provided for me, and I don't know who else to say thank you to, so I thought that I'd pass it on to the state where a lot of the funds come from, because it is those funds that allow organizations like ourselves and people like me to offer those services to people in need of transportation, because without the mobility, people don't have independence and the dignity in their lives, and it's just something I'd like to see continue for in perpetuity, if possible. And so I want to make sure that you guys understand how important it is to a lot of people out there. I've been able to provide about 500 rides in the last year, just by myself. We do over half a million rides a year, so I don't know what that percentage is, but it's nice when I can go home and tell my wife that somebody actually said thank you for what I did today.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, gentlemen, for the work you do. Just out of curiosity, do you have a fleet of cars that you, these aren't personal cars, is there?
No, this is Right Connection does maintain a fleet of vehicles. It's right around 90 vehicles that are either distributed amongst our providers or centralized in our fleet. Most of them are provided through things like Rideabout, Project Linkage, Metropolitan Family Services. Mm-hmm. These are all organizations that do utilize the fleet, and we acquire them from a variety of means.
Very good. And is there a particular, if I could follow, Madam Chair, thank you. Is there a particular standard for the cars that you include in the fleet? I mean, in terms of the age of the car, the type of, the number of passengers?
That's a good question. My understanding is there's not a restriction on it, although we do try to stay with the smaller minibuses that hold about 6 people to the up to about 14-seat vans. You probably see the Lyft vans around town. They're very similar vehicles to that. In fact, many of those are retired TriMet Lyft vehicles that we're using.
Very good. Thank you.
Can I add something to that? We also stay with under the 15 because of it's hard to get volunteer drivers or paid drivers who have the CDL. So we utilize, although I'm a driver myself and I also do the same thing he does. If somebody don't show up, I'm the person who has to go out and drive that route. But it is rewarding, and I'd like to compliment him for bringing that up. Yeah.
Well, and I guess I have a question on the, I mean, you said you have half a million rides a year. Is that what you're able to do, or are you able to keep up with the demand?
I think we could do a lot more, actually. I think if the funds are available, we could increase that. We do turn people down as it is now because most of our fleet is based on volunteer drivers, and if that volunteer is not available, that person unfortunately may not get the ride they need. That being said, we try to maintain as much as we can and try to make sure that people get to those life-sustaining appointments that they need to get to.
To follow up what he said, we have our services are Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and so we're not able to go early morning, evening rides, on the weekends as well. And the drivers are there's about 600 drivers in our network of providers, and about two-thirds of those are volunteers. And so it is a volunteer-based program, more or less, and so we're dependent on their services.
And And going to that question, or that response there, do you have any idea the age of your drivers?
I'm 71. I'm a retired real estate broker, but as my clientele before I retired became older, I started specializing in helping senior citizens stay in their homes. That's how I got involved in this, and that's what I do. I specialize in helping seniors stay in their homes, and one of the number one reasons is transportation.
And a follow-up to your question, a lot of our drivers, our volunteer drivers, tend to be newly retired adults who are either looking for things to do in their community, want to be involved. A lot of people come from AARP, so if I was to hedge a guess, I would say between 50 and 60 is about the average age.
Any other questions? I'm
just thinking back. When I was a young mother, before my children were in school, I was a volunteer driver, and I really enjoyed that. Okay. So it seems like there's a population
of
younger people and maybe retired people, so that's great.
There is.
Madam Chairman, we are, like you said, it's very hard, and we do need other funding because we have a lot of people who need to be at the doctor's office at 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock, and we do not have the funds to provide paid drivers to do that. I am one of those volunteers that volunteers are like to go to Oregon Health Science. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and have them there. Two riders normally between 7:15 and 7:30 because they have 8 o'clock appointments and they have to be there all day, and normally they can't come back home until after the drivers get off work, and I'm one of those volunteers that will go and pick them up at 5 and get off back home by 7. My wife is downstairs and she's very upset with me.
Well, thank you for doing that. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
I
you.
Didn't see any other questions, so thank you for staying. That's it. There's no one else out there that wanted to talk, huh? Well, thanks, everybody. It's very informative, and thanks for coming today. And I guess I'll close the public hearing, or informational hearing.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And thank you, committee, for staying. And close committee.